and regionally sourced fresh food. Order online and pick up weekly in Liberty, Livingston Manor, Margaretville, Narrowsburg, and Wurtsboro. Supporting agriculture and contributing to a healthier community. CatskillsFoodHub.org. From the River Reporter newspaper, riverreporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, Radio Catskill.
Welcome to Local Edition, news and information keeping you connected in the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dolt. And coming up, once again, we will be checking in with Dr. Bruce Elswig, Medical Director for Sullivan County Public Health, here on the second week in a row where two deaths have been recorded on the Sullivan County dashboard. That's what we're looking at today. Same thing happened last week. Dr. Bruce Elswig will be talking about COVID-19 in Sullivan County and what people can expect with booster shots. But first, it's Thursday. Every Thursday, we check in with Wayne County here on the Local Edition. And right now, Wayne County is conducting a feasibility study for an Agricultural Innovation Center, or AIC. The Agriculture Innovation Center is planned, but not only to serve as a local processing plant for various agricultural goods, but also to serve as a place for education and a place for residents to buy local products. And on the phone with us now from the AIC, the Agricultural Innovation Center, it's Philip Gottwals and Jimmy Show. Hello, Philip. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for having us tonight.
Thank you. And Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Welcome to both of you to the program. So, Philip, what was the catalyst for this project?
The catalyst was an agricultural development study that was done a few years ago by Wayne County Tomorrow's Agricultural Committee, which pointed to a number of opportunities in the region for farmers to take greater advantage of access to certain markets, and as part of that process, we also had gone through a little bit of discovery about what might happen in cases where there were supply chain disruptions, and lo and behold, COVID-19 rolls around, and we find out that our large national supply chains aren't necessarily quite as stable as we'd like them to be, and it made a great impression on folks locally on what we might be able to do to not only create a more stable environment for making sure we have solid food access and food security throughout the year, but also turn that into an advantage for our small businesses and our farmers in the area.
Jimmy, is this the sort of thing that other communities where agriculture is important, that this is the sort of approach that they've been taking?
Yeah, I think this isn't the first time we've been working on a project that's in similar, scope and in a similar direction. We worked on a feasibility study for a Hudson food hub out in Hudson, New York, where there's a lot of similar elements where, growers in the community as well as residents are looking for both, a facility and a suite of services that, address the supply chain issues, but also deal with kind of the community-related issues, whether that's related to food access or healthy eating or just access to fresh food.
Okay, so this is a study has it already started? It's ongoing now, correct?
Correct. I think we started back in, I want to say, June or July.
The last week of July, I think we mid-July, we officially kicked off, mm-hmm. and we've been having a few community meetings since. We're really just kind of getting our sea legs under us and attempting to make greater contact with folks who are in the ag industry or maybe in food processing throughout the region. As you said earlier, we're not just looking at Wayne County as our as our project area, but we're looking to have a much greater effect throughout the region.
Yeah, I was wondering if is it too early for you to say anything about what you've been hearing from folks as you do this?
There seems to be a lot of interest in having, I guess, what I would call an integrated, sort of an integrated facility, and by that I mean having a lot of community assets in addition to having, for instance, processing capacity or storage capacity and trucking. So, and what I mean by that is, places where young people can come. Learn trades, or become involved in agriculture, food processing, as a way to be introduced to it from an avocational standpoint as well as a vocational standpoint, and perhaps grow into folks who may have an entrepreneurial interest and ultimately create a business in the community. And as Jimmy said, that would lead to having community spaces, entertainment areas, as well as just the straight kind of industrial infrastructure you'd expect where you're doing food processing, marketing, and distribution.
When you put it that way, especially as you mentioned there, you know, opportunities for young people, that brings to mind other projects going on in Wayne County, Northeast PA, that I've talked to folks about. Unfortunately, at this moment, I'm blanking on what the names of those projects or the departments are, but it seems like there are similar initiatives, whether people are actually taking the steps to do these things or they're just starting the communication process or studies as you are doing. Are you seeing any positive overlap with the efforts that others are doing in the county?
We are, and with the region, too. We think that, for instance, the Carbondale Kitchen Incubator or the Catskill Food Hub and the Catskill Kitchen there that's at Cooperative Extension in Sullivan County can all really work together to make sure that we're engaging in collaborative development, because there are a lot of different needs that can be satisfied for the broader benefit of the region, and we're really looking forward to working with those organizations and others to make sure that we're we're all giving care to one another so that we can all grow and support the community and not be competitive but rather collaborative. So yes, we think there's great opportunity for that, as well as working with organizations like the Wayne Memorial Hospital, who has a food as pharmacy program that's getting off the ground now, that's really focused on improving health outcomes through nutritional improvement in the community. And we feel like there's great symbiotic relationships there to be had.
And it sounds like in these examples, you're looking for a forward-thinking future for the economic and general well-being of Wayne County, while maintaining its traditional roots, literal roots, when it comes to agriculture.
That's very true. That's very, very true. And I think we need to respect where we come from, right? We need to respect that there is history and tradition, and there's a lot of expertise in both agriculture, and in the community development arena. So we want to build on that, and we want to add. And I think you used the right word. We want to be innovative. We want to use technology where it helps us, and we want to leverage our relationships in the broader region. So that, you know, that means sort of extending our reach to places that may be a little farther afield, but where we have strong connections, and that may mean with all of the camp infrastructure, both in Sullivan County and in Wayne County, there are a lot of people who identify with the region very positively, who have a strong connection and really may be looking for a reconnection through food that we can help provide through our collaborative activities.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, thank you for going over all that. Philip, now, Jimmy, this project's still going on. It's a feasibility study. I know you want the community to be engaged. What are the ways that they can be engaged? Who should they talk to, and what should happen?
Yeah, so I think you know, for everyone who's interested in this project, you know, we definitely welcome people to give us their comments and their thoughts. And they can reach us. I don't know if this is the best place to provide an email. But one other thing that is going around in the community right now is a community survey. We're basically soliciting people's feedback to get a sense of, you know, people's wants, needs, and desires as it relates to this project. We have some partners through Extension, through the Farm Bureau, as well as a local newspaper. They're, you know, disseminating the survey. So I think, you know, anyone who's come across that, that's a great way to get feedback to us. And there is information on there on where to do that.
Is the Wayne Tomorrow website a good another place to go? WayneTomorrow.com?
Yes,
it is. And the commissioner's, it's really being run out of the commissioner's office. So the commissioner's office is, at Wayne County is a great place to make a contact. And we will work with Wayne Tomorrow to make sure our contact information is available so that anyone who needs to get to us can get to us.
All right, great. Well, any final thoughts before we go?
We would encourage anyone, I think just in keeping with that, who would like to talk to us about the process or may have an idea that they'd like us to explore as part of it, we would absolutely encourage, no matter what side of the Delaware River you live on, to reach out and have a conversation with us.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, both of you, and I wish you the best, and I'd love to hear what comes out of this project on the other end.
We'll be sure to follow up. Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you so much.
This is a local edition, and that just there, we were having a conversation about the Agriculture Innovation Center, and they're doing a feasibility study as they plan it, and our guests were Philip Gottwals and Jimmy Hsu, and that was our weekly check-in with Wayne County right here on the local edition. Stay tuned. We got more coming up. We'll be checking in with Dr. Bruce Elswick live, getting a local COVID update and also talking about those booster shots. It's a local edition. We're keeping you connected.
Donna Fellenberg here, and this Saturday on Catskill Character, my guest will be the magical Sasha Graham, and we're going to be talking about the experience of sending your only child off to college. How do you deal with all the emotion? Sasha will share her experience, and although she's magical, she's got some very down-to-earth thoughts. That's Catskill Character, Saturday at 11:30 on WJFF.
This Week in This American Life.
For hospital.
Hello. A man makes a request that goes against both company policy and human nature.
You know the music you have, the holding music, when you put me on hold, it plays it. Could you do that for me for a minute?
Loving the music on hold, no kidding. And other stories of being stuck. This week.
Saturday at 6 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville.
On air at 90.5 FM. Streaming online at WJFFradio.org. On your smartphone and on your smart speaker.
We are Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the local edition. News and information keeping you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. We hit Northeast Pennsylvania in the first half of the program. Now we're back on the New York side of the river. And the Delta variant is here. Well, Delta variant's pretty much everywhere. Positive cases trend seems to be going down. It goes down, it comes up. But Sullivan County has recorded 2 deaths in just the past 2 days. 9 deaths in the last 10 weeks, at least. That's according to the Sullivan County dashboard of Sullivan County Public Health. So you might be wondering, what does the season look like ahead? And also in the news is the booster shots. Do we need one of those as we're facing this variant in our listening area? To help answer these questions on the phone is now Dr. Bruce Elswig, Medical Director for Sullivan County Public Health. He's also a doctor at Crystal Run Healthcare. Well, Dr. Elswig, thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me, Jason. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So, I don't know. It seems to me, as I look at the dashboard, and I do look at it, you know, most days here during the week to report to folks on air, it looks like we're still in this kind of third wave for our area. I know the third wave came at different times to different areas, but it still seems like we're in the midst. Have we reached the peak of the pandemic in our area? Are we? When will we be coming down the other side of this?
I wish I knew, Jason. I think that we're still on the upturn, although the data may be flat for a few days. But if you look at the number of deaths, as you mentioned, 86 deaths in Sullivan County, 186 active cases, 7 now in the hospital and 1 in ICU. These numbers are really frightening. And we still have a significant percentage of our population that's not immunized. And this is fodder for the growth of the virus and also an opportunity for more variants to develop. Schools are now open. We have a population of kids that haven't been immunized, those certainly under 12 years of age, not yet, and I hope that's going to be soon, and a significant portion of the 12 and older that also have not been vaccinated yet. So we still have an incredible pool of opportunity for this terrible virus to inhabit our community and to cause significant disease. I'm seeing an uptick in the people that I see in the practice, both in the, I don't see them in the office, but I do Zoom with them, people who have symptoms who have come out positive, some even who have had both vaccines and still come out positive and who are ill. I hear what you're saying about the Delta variant, and it is everywhere, and we don't know what the next variant coming down the road is. Also, with flu season approaching, last year was amazing. I did not have a single documented case of flu, I think because people were taking precautions and wearing masks. But I'm certainly afraid that this year, since the mask issue has been relaxed, and I don't believe that it should be, but since it's been relaxed, I think we're going to see a return of flu. And this will compound the issue of the exposure to the COVID vaccine virus as well. As far as immunizations, as far as the third dose, or some people are calling it a booster, it was just approved today for use in 65 and older and people with chronic diseases and frontline people delivering care. So I would encourage those people who have those risks to arrange to get the vaccine as soon as it's widely available locally, to speak to their primary doctors, to seek out other avenues of getting the vaccine, whether it be at a pharmacy or through public health. Public health is now still distributing vaccines on every Wednesday. More than 100 doses each Wednesday are being put in arms at the public health office in Liberty.
Yeah, so a couple things on this, and I think just to clarify, is this third dose or booster shot right now specifically, the approval and recommendations specifically for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I would anticipate that the Moderna vaccine will be soon available as well, but it has not been approved as of yet.
Right. And it hasn't been approved for everyone, but for many Americans. Just going back a little bit to what you're saying, the fact that, you know, school is in session, young school age kids are back at school, and then the last thing that you said there, how many vaccines you've been getting out every week. I know public health, Sullivan County, really was putting a big effort to get the word out about vaccines in general, then vaccinations for young people in particular, hosting those vaccination sessions at the school districts at the end of the school year, and even in the midst of that slate of vaccination sessions, I think that was when the age was lowered and you're able to get for age 12 and up. And then also you're really putting the word out heading up to the start of the school season to remind people, like, hey, if your child is at least this age, age, they can get the vaccine. So anything that I've seen from Sullivan County Public Health, any other news related to the pandemic, there's been that encouragement to get the vaccine. Has that effort paid off? Are you seeing results?
We're seeing results. There are, as I mentioned, more than 100 people every Wednesday getting vaccinated at Public Health. There are people getting vaccinated in their pharmacies, at their doctor's offices as well. So we have, especially since Pfizer got complete approval rather than emergency use authorization, we've seen an uptick in the people getting vaccinations. But I still have a significant percentage of people that I'm exposed to in my office, as well as the general population, that are resistant to vaccines. And, you know, I just say, don't hesitate, vaccinate. This is the only tool, the best tool that we have, is to use the vaccine as a preventive. And I still encourage people, even those that have been vaccinated, to wear masks when they're indoors, and if they're exposed to people at less than 6 feet out of doors. I do believe the masks act as a deterrent as well. So, you know, I've seen so many people unmasked and unprotected, and so many people who are resistant to the vaccine. And there's, to be honest with you, there are a lot of crazy ideas out there in the community, the use of ivermectin, which is not approved and potentially dangerous for people with COVID. The only options that we have as a preventive are the vaccine and mask wearing, the treatments for those people who are vulnerable and who have the disease by using monoclonal antibodies is available to them to prevent to mitigate the severity of the disease if they are vulnerable for severe illness and have COVID. So there are options out there for the community to be protected and to be treated. But unfortunately, we're seeing people, even those that have been fully vaccinated, who are getting quite ill. Yeah. And we need to take precautions. Caution is the byword.
Right, but the fact that some people, and it's a very small fraction of people, might get one of these breakthrough cases or get ill even if they've had the vaccine, I mean, that doesn't contradict the fact that the vaccine still works overall.
The vaccine is wonderfully effective against severe disease, hospitalization, and death. People can get sick and get very sick even if they've been vaccinated, but as you mentioned, the numbers are very small. So there is no excuse not to get vaccinated if you meet the criteria, the age criteria, and hopefully that will be dropped to 6 and above within the next month or so. I know that the research is robust and the effectiveness of the vaccine for the children at the lower dose is robust as well.
You know, the other word, and in terms of vaccines, you know, it's the FDA put out the approval, but I'm also looking at an article came out just this afternoon from the New York Times saying, this is the headline, CDC panel recommends Pfizer boosters for many Americans, but not health workers. I'm not sure what that distinction is in there, but the important thing here is the CDC is recommending it on top of the FDA approving it. And again, this is for the Pfizer vaccine. You anticipate, and people watching the news on this expect the other vaccines to come along and get approved for a third dose before too long. It's really about the studies that they're doing. But in the meantime, and this is a question that I hear from people, is if somebody got the Moderna vaccine and they're in this category that's approved by FDA and recommended by the CDC to get another dose, if they got the Moderna vaccine, can they then go and get the Pfizer third shot, or is that something that people should not do?
The answer is not in yet, honestly. I know they're doing work with crossover vaccinations, but I would anticipate that within weeks we'll see Moderna also approved for the third dose. So I would be patient. Actually, I would be doctor, but other people can be patient.
Sorry.
So I would eagerly hope that the Moderna vaccine will be approved for its third dose. The other issue is when to get it, and most people are saying 8 months after the second shot. Some people are actually saying 5 months, but what they're looking at is when the antibody levels have reached their lowest point is when you want to get the vaccine. So current research is conflicting, but between 5 and 8 months, I believe, is the time that people should get their vaccination for the third dose. I would not suggest, unless they say otherwise, to get it sooner than that, because they may miss the opportunity to boost that immunity for a longer period of time.
And if it's been longer than that for some folks?
I'm sorry?
And if it's been longer than that for some folks?
What? Then get it when it's available, yes.
Right, okay. Because that 4 to 8 months, that's now for a lot of people. You know, cause a
it
lot
is.
Of people
you
are
know,
getting
I got mine
in
January, my second dose, so yeah. I'm well beyond that, and I'm elderly and vulnerable, and I'm a doc, and I see patients every day who are unimmunized, and I can't wait to get my dose, but I had Moderna, and I'm going to wait for the Moderna to be approved.
Along those lines, the fact that you are a doctor and that you're doing all this work, and I'm sorry, one of the things I wanted to ask, too, is there's so much to talk about, there's so much for you to be looking at just with the medical side of the pandemic, the impacts of people getting it, contracting it, the vaccines to prevent it, all that side of it. Then there's this other side, too, of just the toll that it's taking on people in terms of mental health and the less physical aspects of it, the more mental and emotional side of it. Are you looking at any of that in your work at public health?
There are very few people who don't have some form of PTSD from what they've lived through for the last year and a half or 2 years. I think that people are suffering from isolation. They're suffering from missing their families, from missing social opportunities. I think that people are suffering in many, many ways. It's going to take a long time to recover from that. There are resources out there from the state as far as mental health resources for those people who are suffering. There's an 800 number, I believe. You can get on the State Department of Health website and look for mental health resources for those people who are feeling the terrible strain emotionally and psychologically that they've had over the last year and a half. And certainly those resources are available. They're free. And I would suggest that anybody who feels the need should seek out those resources. They're anonymous and they're helpful.
The Project Hope helpline, Project Hope in New York State, that number is 844-863-9314, 844-863-9314. Dr. Elswick, before we go, is there anything else that you want folks to know?
Just don't hesitate. Vaccinate. Still wear your mask. Still practice appropriate social distancing when you don't know who you're with and if you're not masked. Respect the science and listen to your primary care doctors.
Yeah, and don't forget to check in with them about everything else you got going on, too.
Absolutely. There are other shots that people need. The flu shot's important this year because it's going to be potentially a bad flu. For those that are eligible, there are pneumonia vaccines. There are other vaccines that are very important, the shingles vaccine. All these things are important and can't be neglected. Regular health care, colonoscopies, vision checks, hearing checks, dental care, all of these things can't be ignored because we may have a population over the next few years, if they've ignored these very important preventive gestures, that will suffer from other things that were preventable.
My goodness. All right. Well, the great reminders. Dr. Elswick, good luck in the work that you're doing, and thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us here on the Local Edition.
And thank you so much for having me, and be safe and be well.
Thank you. Okay, once again, that was Dr. Bruce Elswig, been checking with us throughout the pandemic. He's medical director for Sullivan County Public Health, as well as being a doctor at Crystal Run Healthcare. That's going to do it for the Local Edition tonight. Local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. We're going to do a quick weather update before we send it to Ramble Tamble, so stay tuned.
The Radio Catskill Community Awards, honoring our healthcare heroes, September 30th. For putting the well-being of others above all else, including Julie Pizzal, the Kingfisher Project.
Since 2014, we have been raising awareness about the drug and opiate crisis in our listening area and around the country.
Join us at Calicoon Hills September 30th. Ticket information at wjffradio.org.
Okay, and once again, there's a flood advisory in effect until 8:30 p.m. This is localized right over southwestern Delaware County and western Sullivan County in New York State, and just over the river in northern Pike County and northeastern Wayne County in northeastern Pennsylvania, with the rain in the area. This flood advisory is in effect until 8:30 p.m. This is an addition to a flash flood watch that's out there. And thunderstorms this evening. Rain, and then rain likely overnight with a